When Moses finished speaking with them, he covered his face with a veil. Why did Moses cover his face with a veil? And the people of Israel would see the radiant glow of his face, so he put the veil over his face until he returned to speak with the Lord. What is the deeper meaning of that? What is the hidden or deeper message? In 2 Corinthians 3, unlike Moses, who put a veil over his face so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the end of what was passing away, but their minds were blinded, for until this day the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is taken away in Christ. But even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies on their heart. What is this veil? How do we get the veil removed? Listen in as we unpack Moses and the veil. Welcome to the 1 Year Audio Bible Podcast. Today is March 21st. Now let's continue our journey reading through the entire Bible in 1 year. This week we are reading from the New Living Translation for the Old Testament and for the New Testament. Exodus 34, 27 to 35. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Write down all these instructions, for they represent the terms of the covenant I am making with you and with Israel." Moses remained there on the mountain with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. And all that time he ate no bread and drank no water. And the Lord wrote the terms of the covenant, the Ten Commandments, on the stone tablets. When Moses came down Mount Sinai carrying the two stone tablets inscribed with the terms of the covenant, he wasn't aware that his face had become radiant because he had spoken to the Lord. So when Aaron and the people of Israel saw the radiance of Moses' face, they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called out to them and asked Aaron and all the leaders of the community to come over, and he talked with them. Then all the people of Israel approached him, and Moses gave them all the instructions the Lord had given him on Mount Sinai. When Moses finished speaking with them, he covered his face with a veil. But whenever he went into the tent of meeting to speak with the Lord, he would remove the veil until he came out again. Then he would give the people whatever instructions the Lord had given him, and the people of Israel would see the radiant glow of his face. So he would put the veil over his face until he returned to speak with the Lord. Luke 4:31 to 5:11. Then Jesus went to Capernaum, a town in Galilee, and taught there in the synagogue every Sabbath day. There too the people were amazed at the things he said, because he spoke with authority. Once when he was in the synagogue, a man possessed by a demon began shouting at Jesus, "Go away! Why are you bothering us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One sent from God." Jesus cut him short. "Be silent," he told the demon. "Come out of the man." The demon threw the man to the floor as the crowd watched. Then it left him without hurting him further. Amazed, the people exclaimed, "What authority and power this man's words possess! Even evil spirits obey him and flee at his command." The story of what he had done spread like wildfire throughout the whole region. After leaving the synagogue that day, Jesus went to Simon's home, where he found Simon's mother-in-law very sick with a high fever. "Please heal her," everyone begged. Standing at her bedside, he spoke to the fever, rebuking it, and immediately her temperature returned to normal. She got up at once and prepared a meal for them. As the sun went down that evening, people throughout the village brought sick family members to Jesus. No matter what their diseases were, the touch of his hand healed everyone. Some were possessed by demons, and the demons came out at his command, shouting, "You are the Son of God." But because they knew he was the Messiah, he stopped them and told them to be silent. Early the next morning, Jesus went out into the wilderness. The crowd searched everywhere for him, and when they finally found him, they begged him not to leave them. But he replied, "I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God in other places too, because that is why I was sent." So he continued to travel around, preaching in synagogues throughout Judea. One day, as Jesus was preaching on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, a great crowds pressed in on him to listen to the word of God. He noticed two empty boats at the water's edge, for the fishermen had left them and were washing their nets. Stepping into one of the boats, Jesus asked Simon, its owner, to push it out into the water. So he sat in the boat and taught the crowds from there. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Now go out where it is deeper and let down your nets, and you will catch many fish." "Master," Simon replied, "we worked hard all last night and didn't catch a thing. But if you say so, we'll try again." And this time their nets were so full they began to tear. A shout for help brought their partners in the other boat, and soon both boats were filled with fish and on the verge of sinking. When Simon realized what had happened, he fell to his knees before Jesus and said, "O Lord, please leave me. I'm too much of a sinner to be around you." For he was awestruck by the size of their catch, as were the others with him. His partners, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, were also amazed. Jesus replied to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be fishing for men." And as soon as they landed, they left everything and followed Jesus. Psalm 64, 1 to 10. O God, listen to my complaint. Do not let my enemies' threats overwhelm me. Protect me from the plots of the wicked, from the scheming of those who do evil. Sharp tongues are the swords they wield. Bitter words are the arrows they aim. They shoot from ambush at the innocent, attacking suddenly and fearlessly. They encourage each other to do evil and plan how to set their traps. "Who will ever notice?" they ask. As they plot their crimes, they say, "We have devised the perfect plan." Yes, the human heart and mind are cunning. But God himself will shoot them down. Suddenly, his arrows will pierce them. Their own words will be turned against them, destroying them. All who see it happening will shake their heads in scorn. Then everyone will stand in awe, proclaiming the mighty acts of God, realizing all the amazing things he does. The godly will rejoice in the Lord and find shelter in him, and those who do what is right will praise him. Proverbs 11:22. A woman who is beautiful but lacks discretion is like a gold ring in a pig's snout. I want to speak to you today from our reading from Exodus chapter 34. And in this passage of scripture today, we read about how Moses would spend time with the Lord and speak with him. And when he would speak with him, his face would glow and it would radiate. And the people were afraid of that. And so Moses would put a veil over his face so that they wouldn't see the radiance glowing from his face. He would put the veil over his face until he would then go and return to speak with the Lord. So what is this all about? Let's unpack this. There are some cross-reference scriptures that will help us better understand what this is about. Now keep in mind that this is the first covenant that God has made with the children of Israel. And Moses is his representative, his mediator, so to speak, for this very first covenant. But let's understand this a bit more by reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 3. We'll start in verse 7. Where it is written, "But if the ministry of death, written and engraved on stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of the glory of his countenance, which glory was passing away, how will the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious? So this passage now is talking about the glory of the new covenant. Moses was in the old covenant, the first covenant. But this is saying that there's a new covenant coming that would be much more glorious. Start continuing on in verse 9. For if the ministry of condemnation had glory, the ministry of righteousness exceeds much more glory. For even what was made glorious had no glory in this respect because of the glory that excels. For if what is passing away was glorious, what remains is much more glorious. Therefore, since we have such hope, we use great boldness of speech. Unlike Moses, who put a veil over his face so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the end of what was passing away. But their minds were blinded, for until this day, the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is taken away in Christ. But even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies on their heart. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. So basically what this passage is saying is that there was a glory that was upon the countenance, the face of Moses, with the giving of the law, with that very first covenant that was given. But because of the hardness of the people's hearts, those two stone tablets were an indicator of the condition of their heart. Their hearts were of stone. They could not receive this covenant or walk in it or keep the commands of the covenant because of the hardness of their heart. And so God mediates a better covenant, a new covenant. Let's learn more about what this second or better covenant, the new covenant, is. In Ezekiel chapter 36, starting in verse 26, God says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take out the heart of stone out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. Then you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. So basically here, God is saying, I'm going to take out the heart of stone that's there in you, and I'm going to give you a heart of flesh, and I'm going to write my word, my scriptures upon your heart, and I'm going to put my spirit within you. That's the new covenant. And so our passage from 2 Corinthians chapter 3 says that this new covenant is far more glorious than the first covenant that was given. But for those who are not born again, who do not have the Holy Spirit dwelling within, their minds are blinded. And there's a veil over their mind and heart that whenever they read the Old Testament, they cannot see Jesus there. They cannot see and understand how everything is all pointing to Jesus. That there's a veil over their mind and over their heart. And the only one who can take that veil away is Jesus. Only the Holy Spirit can remove that veil. And once that veil is removed, then people will be able to understand and see the Messiah from Genesis to Revelation. Jesus is there in the beginning in Genesis 1:1, and he's throughout all of the Old Testament, and of course throughout the New Testament, all the way to the last chapter of Revelation. He's there. So, may we read his word with our hearts fully open and unveiled. May our mind and our heart be unveiled as we seek him and as we take in the word of God. Amen. Have a blessed day, and we'll see you tomorrow. Shalom.